Thank you, Chris and Cameron, Daniel and Luke. I am not alone. That is a good theme for this morning. And through the years of ministry, I had lots of opportunities to hear testimonies of people who've gone through struggles, a lot of men's Bible studies, been at prayer meetings for pastors, prayer meetings for staff and members. I've had a lot of opportunities to be at conventions and through Sunday school and counseling sessions. People have tough times in life, and most of the time, people are looking for an instant cure. They're looking for something that you will say or some kind of remedy for their ill. And most of the time, what they're experiencing is something that perhaps has been building over a long period of time, or it's a behemoth of a monster that can't be dealt with immediately, and it's going to take a process of time. But we in our impatience desire to have it fixed right now. And when we do get those things under control and handled, normally we relax and drop our guard and suddenly are overcome by difficulty again. There's something common to all of us, whether we're believers or not, and that is that we are always under an attack. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But especially in the Christian walk, when it comes to walking with Christ, we need to understand something. You believe in God. You're a follower of Jesus. You are always under attack. There's never a time when you are in the free and clear. It may seem like it. You may seem like you've got all things together, but if you're being faithful, if you're trusting God, and if you are looking to Him, you will experience struggle. It is a normal part of a believer's life by virtue of the spiritual warfare that is occurring around you always. Let me say this. Jesus told His disciples, the world will hate you. In this world, you will have trouble. Because the world hated me, they're going to hate you. You are in this world, but you're not of the world. If anyone is to follow after me, He said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And outside of that, you can't be my disciple. Those are pretty stern words. Those are not words of, here, you're going to have a life that is down a smooth road of clear sailing and no difficulties. And when we look at the life of the biblical characters who followed after Christ and they were faithful to follow after Christ, no holds barred, they had difficulties. It is a part of the Christian walk. It is a part of the relationship with God. Yes, you find peace and joy, but that is usually in the circumstances of life that's going on around you. There is always a battle. I was reminded about this a couple of weeks ago. Followers are always continually seriously engaged in spiritual warfare. And it has just, it's dominated my thinking for a couple of weeks, and the Lord provided a passage of Scripture that's familiar to very many of you out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 20. But let me tell you, let's listen to this passage of Scripture this morning, let's examine it, and let's not just sentimentally gloss over it, because it can be very easy to do that. Let's examine and see what God has in this passage for us. Let's stand together as we read these words that God put in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Through the Holy Spirit, pen them for this church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, we entrust our struggles today to the truth that's revealed in this passage of Scripture. Father, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to this valuable nugget of treasure that you have provided for us out of this sweet book of Ephesians. Father God, may we embrace these truths, may we see them applied to our life, and may we experience great power as you work through this truth. It's to your glory that we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The passage of Scripture, of course, is found in a context, and we are going to revisit that in a moment. But this passage is the Apostle Paul addressing the issue that's common for all believers. That is that you will struggle. You're in a war. It is a battle. It is not easy. Some in this room, if you were asked, have you ever been under demonic attack or wrestled with the devil, you'd probably say, why, no. Why would I admit to that? I'm a Christian. Get off your pious high horse. Because if you've ever entertained lust in your heart, if you've ever thought about coveting something of someone else's or something, someone of someone else's, if you've ever thought about taking something that didn't belong to you, if you've ever been angry at your neighbor or your brother, if you've ever wanted to tell your parents where to put it, you've had to wrestle with demonic influence. And listen, believers are not given a license from that. The devil's attacking you because he doesn't want you to be successful. If he cannot have your soul, and listen, this is somewhere in my notes, he can't have your soul. If you belong to Jesus, there is no longer any condemnation for you. You are secure. Nothing can take away the salvation that you have. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. You belong to Him. And Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand, and no one can snatch you out of my hand. You're secure. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord permits the devil to be active in this world for a period of time. He's going to get his comeuppance one day. But in the meantime, we're free game. When disease comes, when death comes, when divorce, when a child runs away from home, the devil's on attack. You still belong to Christ, but the devil's on attack. He's not giving up. The struggle's real. The struggle is there. The Apostle Paul recognized this, and as throughout the letter, we'll see that he addresses certain issues, but right now he's saying, finally, let's make application of something that's very important. With all the issues of life, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Don't rely on yourself. Let me tell you, every one of us in this place, I don't care if you can bench press 350 pounds, you are weak when it comes to comparison with the Lord God. I've seen some strong people in my life. I used to be a gym rat, and I was in the weight room, and I could see some guys throwing around a lot of weight. But they can't handle what the Lord can handle. And when we're under attack from the devil, listen, he's a fallen angel. He's more powerful than any of us in this place. You and I can't handle the devil and his demonic attacks on our own. We must rely upon the strength of the Lord, the power of his might in order to get it. The song just sang, I'm not alone. Praise the Lord, you're not. If you were left on your own, you'd be a mess. You'd be in trouble. You'd be cooked. Stick a fork in you. You're done. You're weak. We are weak in this flesh. And we can be macho and we can put up a strong front. Every 4 years when the Olympics come around and there's a story about somebody who's lifted themselves up from the ashes and they were doomed to be crippled or they were doomed to be sickly and determination stepped in and they got in the weight rooms and they got under a trainer and they ended up being something great and one of the greatest athletes in the world. Those stories abound. But when it comes to dealing with spiritual reality, we are weak. And it takes more than determination on our part and flesh and blood to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. We must rely upon the power of God, His might, the strength of the Lord. Paul is making that clear here at the end of this letter. He's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of His might, put on. Now he starts to talk about this. Put on the full armor of God. He wants us to be sure that we rely upon a resource that God has given. We tend to put a whole lot of stock in breastplate, helmet, belt, shoes, sword, shield. All of those items are mentioned. Paul is writing this letter to a people who've been ruled by the Romans. It has been every day that they at some point have seen a Roman soldier or a legion of Roman soldiers moving around in their midst, making sure things are under control, and they would see the attire of those soldiers. Now, in the first service, somebody tried to straighten me out. If you've ever seen a picture of a Roman soldier, they have on a skirt. I'm just saying it. They're wearing a dress. I don't know if you think that that's whatever, misogynistic or whatever that big word is, but they're wearing a dress. And to keep their dress up, they're wearing a belt. Hold it up so it don't fall down and they get even more embarrassed. They're wearing a belt. It keeps up stuff. Paul likens the belt to truth. Well, there is nothing more important to a believer than truth. And you know, there is an absolute in this world that all of us will be measured by one day. It is truth. It is a standard that never changes. It is a standard that will be there throughout the course of time, however long that is, truth stands. We can go through culture changes and transitions, and we can change the rules and the laws and all those things, but there is one standard that does not change. And the Lord God has control of that, and His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And that standard of truth is what the believer needs to wrap himself in and saturate himself in and walk in, letting it hold him together, him or her. Now, I'm not going to be gender correct. All of us are hymns right now, okay? It holds you together. Truth is your hope. If you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord and about salvation, you need to have truth. There needs to be a measure of truth by which you speak. No one ever comes to know Christ as Savior until they see truth, that they're sinners and the Lord is holy, and they can't get there on their own. You need truth. Truth is what keeps all things together. The Apostle Paul is saying here, you need to put on this full armor so you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil, because the devil's not playing for fun. He's playing for keeps. He desires to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his job. Believer, he wants to steal your joy, he wants to kill your life, and he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to do whatever he can to make you useless and ineffective at best. And if he can ruin you along the way and cause you to curse the name of God, that's what he wants you to do. He's after you. He's got schemes. Just like in the garden, the very first couple that the Lord God made. You have to know that they were very precious to him, right? I mean, he formed man with his hands, put man together out of the dust of the earth, blew life into his nostrils so that he might live. They were special. Then he made a woman out of the rib of a man and formed her so that they could be together. Very special to him. And for us to think that God would give us life eternal and then he would just put us in a place where we could never be touched by the devil, he'd have to apologize to Adam and Eve because he put them in a garden, but there the devil was, right? In the form of a serpent, and at that time, evidently, a serpent probably had legs or something so it could come up to the lady and not scare her to death and talk to her. A talking animal. There you go, Dr. Doolittle. Serpent talked to her, charming. She didn't run away scared and go, yee, and find Adam, go kill that snake. She talked with the animal. Charming. Philosophically brilliant. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat that? Well, you know, God's just trying to hide something from you. Because if you did eat of it, you'd be like him. Then you'd know the difference between good and evil. And he didn't want you to do that, but you'd be like God. He just doesn't want you to be like him. How calm and smooth. That's the way the devil works. We often think the devil's attacking us and scheming against us with a pitchfork, big red tail, blowing out fire. No, he's coming at us in the smoothest and most alluring of ways so that he can just draw us in. It's scheming. It's deceitful. When he says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, wrestling was a beautiful athletic event in those days. It was prowess, and it was hand-to-hand combat, and it was seeing who could be more tricky than the other guy to get him in a hold that would keep him out. It wasn't to the death, but it was a kind of a sport that would show deceit and trickery. He's saying we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritualities, powers, in dark places, wicked places. In that garden, that crafty devil, he was scheming. And he underhandedly caused the man and the woman to consider doubting God and to eat of that fruit and have their spiritual eyes opened in a way they probably shouldn't have at that time. And they sinned. They blatantly defied a command of God, a direct command of God. This is the way the devil works. Okay, so when Paul is writing, finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on this armor. You have to have this armor so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil, because our struggle's not with flesh and blood. When you have problems with relationships with other people, or you have problems at your job, it's not about flesh and blood. As much as we want to mark it up to that, it is about spiritual forces at work against you. It is about the devil scheming. It is about him doing whatever he can to trip you up and to steal your faith, to steal your joy, to kill the life that's inside of you so that you will be ineffective at best. We do not wrestle in that kind of way, hand-to-hand combat with flesh and blood, but instead against spiritualities. Spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. While we're doing our Revelation study, we kind of came across that word. If you remember, those of you that have been in that study, there's the place before the throne of God And the scripture tells us that the accuser goes there and accuses the brethren. He's constantly there before the throne throwing accusations. Jesus is the mediator and he's interceding on our behalf while the accuser's doing that. We find also that there's this war that goes on. Revelation talks about this war between the holy angels and the angels of the devil in mid-heaven, and they're fighting and warring in that place. But one day is going to come when the Lord has cast the devil completely out, where he can't accuse the brethren anymore, and he casts out all those wicked forces out of mid-heaven so they can't wrestle with the good angels anymore, and they'll be focused upon the earth. That'll be during the time of tribulation, when all of the devil's efforts will be focused upon the inhabitants of the earth. And that war is currently taking place in heavenly places. Demonic forces battling, doing the will of the devil to fight against God and God's people. Here, Paul makes no bones. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This struggle's not about that. This struggle is about spiritual demonic forces that are outside of our control. So what can we do? Put on the armor, the full armor of God. Truth. A breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate would cover all the vital organs. It would keep you from being hammered in, and your heart, your lungs, kidneys. It would cover. But righteousness is what Paul's getting at. That's what we need. You and I are unrighteous until the conversion experience happens and Christ imputes his righteousness upon us, takes away our sin and gives us his righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, no longer us. We need that righteousness to protect us, so that when we stand before the Lord, we have his favor. But on this righteousness, there's also shodding your feet with the preparation, or putting on the sandals with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is that message from God that even though we have sinned, God has sent a Savior into the world, Jesus Christ, to come and die for our sin. He's been raised up to life because he satisfied God's righteous wrath against the sin of those who repent. He is now waiting for the time he will come back in victory and take over the wickedness and throw them out and have a new heaven and a new earth made, and his kingdom will be here. Listen, the gospel's powerful. We need to walk in the gospel. Allow it to be real in our lives, has transformed our lives so that we are different than we were before. When you read through this letter, you find the Apostle Paul talking about how you used to walk in a certain way. You used to be dead in your trespasses, chapter 2, and in your sins that you formerly walked in according to the course of the world and the prince of the power of the air. And now you've been changed. It's been a transformation because the gospel is powerful. It's made a difference. Walk in that power. Walk in that power. Be an ambassador. Share it. Put this on every single day. In addition to that, take up the shield of faith, that one item of the shield that protects you from the fiery darts that the devil will cast your way. The scripture literally means missile. The Greek word is missile. The devil's not just playing with you. He's not shooting rubber darts at you. He's firing deadly missiles at you. He's doing what he can to destroy you. He's firing those missiles at you, and the only thing that'll protect you is a shield of faith. Faith in God through Christ Jesus. Allowing that to extinguish, to put out, to dissolve those missiles as they come against you. The helmet of salvation. If there's any place we need to protect, it is our mind. The helmet would be to protect the head, the brain, the eyes. The helmet would be security, assurance, certainty. What a protection. And what a shame that so many lack it. So many lack assurance. Even in the Christian faith, there are some who walk around, they're not sure. You've been given a part of the armor of God that is security, it's protection. When the Apostle Paul writes in the next letter in Philippians, he talks about thinking on things in chapter 4 that will help to protect your thinking. In fact, he says, pray to the Lord, pray. Don't be anxious in anything, but in prayer with supplication, thanksgiving, let those requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're talking about a gospel. We're talking about a connection with the Lord that provides assurance and protection. He goes on to say, think on these things. Think on things that are noble and true and right and holy and pure and praiseworthy and lovely, excellent. Think on those things. Let these things be in your heart. If we don't have it in our head, if we're not being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we will be weak. The Apostle Paul says, put on that helmet of salvation, the assurance that you have there, the sword of the Spirit. The only offensive weapon in the whole bit of armor is the Bible, God's Word. When Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness right after his baptism, he utilized the Word of God to ward off Satan, and Satan had to leave him for a season. That didn't mean Satan left him alone, because throughout the course of Jesus' ministry, we see a lot of attacks, even from within his own numbers. We had one that was used by the devil, filled with the devil, in order to betray Jesus. Pharisees and Sadducees and the Herodians and kings coming against Jesus Christ and bringing accusation, trying to trip him up, trying to prove him wrong. The devil never let him off the hook, and especially as he hung on the cross. The devil thought he had him. All the sin and all the shame of mankind on Christ Jesus and the devil, when he died, when the Lord died, the devil thought he had victory. He hated him. He still hates him today because he rose from the dead. He gained victory, and he is the Word of God. The Word is powerful. Utilize it to ward off Satan. If we don't put that on as part of our armor, we miss out. If you don't know your Scripture, know your Scripture. You may not be able to memorize it. I've heard so many say, well, I'm just too old. I don't know if I can memorize anything anymore. You can memorize words of a movie line. You can memorize songs that you like, maybe secular songs or a good old country song. You can memorize things. When you get this Word in your heart, you may not say it verbatim the way it's written, but you'll be speaking it regardless. The Word of God is your weapon. It's the only offensive weapon you have in the armor. You can't let it go. You got to put it on. The Apostle Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Don't leave something out. And then prayer. He adds to this armor, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. It's not the first time that Paul has written about praying all the time. In 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Make prayer a part of your walk with the Lord. The psalmist says morning, noon, and evening. Well, we should be in communication with the Father all the time. I guarantee you, you've ever spoken in public and you stand up here and look at faces that are looking at you in a lot of different ways, you're praying. Even while you're speaking. When you go to that job and your boss walks in the room, you're praying. Listen, pray at all times. It's your communication with the Father. He knows what you're going through, but He wants you to call out to Him. He wants to know you're dependent upon Him. He's waiting to hear you. Pray. We could go on and talk about pray for the preacher, because that's in here. Paul says, pray for me that I have boldness. You already know that, so I'm not going to push that on you. But the point we're making here, the Apostle Paul has been speaking in this letter. Let's just look at this. He's been speaking at the very beginning here. You have this treasure of redemption. You have this wonderful experience of salvation. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been predestined. You were chosen from before the foundation of the earth. the Apostle Paul speaks about how he loves them and prays for them. Chapter 2, you've been made alive in Christ. You were once dead in your sins and trespasses, but there's been a conversion experience, and so now you're being asked to walk in the Lord. Chapter 4, in the unity of the Spirit, be unified together, love one another, learn to get along with the brethren as best as within you. And then verse 17, walk no longer like the Gentiles, like you used to. According to chapter 2, you used to walk in those ways, now walk in a different way. How am I going to walk in this way? Chapter 5, imitate God. How am I going to imitate God? How am I going to love the way God loves? And then he moves into marriage. Okay, women, love your wives. Respect your husbands. Follow their leadership. Men, love your wives like Jesus loved the church. Children, obey your parents, even when they don't make sense. Obey your parents. How about this? Slaves, be obedient to those who are lords over you. Well, today we don't really have the slave-master relationship, but we do have employee-employer relationships. And sometimes that can be stressful kind of situation. Struggles can happen there. Think about every one of these situations that Paul is writing to the Ephesians about. There is a great possibility for struggle. There's a great possibility for not being very effective. So he comes to chapter 5, at the 6 at the end, and he says, finally be strong in the Lord. Don't rely on yourself to be successful in walking with the Lord. Being successful as you're trying to honor your wife. Being successful as you're being a good parent. Being successful as you're being a good son or a daughter. Being successful as you're being a good employee or a good employer. Don't rely upon yourself. Rely upon the power of the Lord. The strength of the might of the power of God. Put on the armor of God, because without it, you're not going to be successful. You want to know how to handle the struggles of life? Don't try to get out of the struggles of life. Recognize you're going to have them. They're going to come. Listen, death comes to all of us unless Christ comes in the clouds of the sky before your demise. We're all going to die. And that means most of us in this place are going to experience someone that we love dying. That's a reality. That's hard. That's a struggle, but you can't do it without the armor of God. You can't do it without the strength of the Lord to get you through that situation. You can't do it when hardship comes. You got to have the strength of the Lord, and you need to put on the full armor of God, because while you go through that struggle, the world's watching to see how you handle that, and you need to be representing the Lord. He's providing the resource for you to be clothed in His majesty and His power, so that the world can see how you're handling all of that stuff and then turn around and glorify your Father who's in heaven. It is a perfect plan. Our God realizes we're weak. He recognizes that we can't handle these things on our own, and so He provides all that we need. He says, all you have to do is be clothed by what I've given you. Put it on. These are just a few of the core areas. We could think of a lot of other relationships, of family members, neighbors, work, recreational associates, classmates. But putting on the full armor of God is what it enables us to be able to handle the difficulties of life. You may have noticed I didn't walk through handling specific battles because they're too multitudinous. In fact, there are too many. Let's just put it that way. I don't know if multitudinous is a word. I just made it up. The Old Testament, King James says it's plenteous. So you got plenteous of problems. Look, there's too much variety to sit here and be specific in what you have to handle. Just know God has enabled you. No matter what the issue is, you're going to have a struggle. The devil's going to be on your tail. The only way that you're going to get through it is the Lord's provision. He's got strength. He's given you armor. And I think about the Old Testament. A couple of times that the Lord really showed what He meant by this. In Exodus chapter 14, if you want to turn there, you can. If you want to just write it down and look at it later. But it was while Moses and the Israelites were running away from Egypt and the Pharaoh was pursuing them. And they get to that place where they've crossed the dry ground, but they turn around and they see Pharaoh and the army coming after them. Pharaoh's gotten mad. He's hardened his heart again. He's chasing after him. He wants to just kill him and wipe him out and be done with this. He can't let record show that he was a weak leader and let these people go. And so he's pursuing them. And you know what God told Moses to tell the people? Verses 13 and 14, he said, "Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord that he'll accomplish for you today, because the Lord will fight for you." And so he told him, okay, now you're across, you're in the promised land, or you're across the sea, turn around, look back now. Look at what God's going to do. So they watch, and here comes Pharaoh's army, and the walls of the sea are standing up, and they're coming across on dry ground just like they did. And you can tell apprehension and anxiety is probably building up inside of them. Oh, God, they're getting closer, and then God just closes it all on the enemy. Wipes out Pharaoh and his army, never to be seen again, buried under the sea. And what was the command of the Lord to them? Stand and see the salvation the Lord has for you. He will fight for you. Another time was when King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where you can find this account. Moabites and the Ammonites and some other nations had come against Judah, and they were going to destroy them, and it was like a million-man army, and God sent a seer to Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat was anxious. And the Lord told him, you need not fight this battle. Go out, station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. And then God took care of the enemy. And the army of Jehoshaphat never once had to lift a sword. God wiped out this army. Sent them running with their tail between their legs, never to bug them again. I want us to think about what Paul wrote here to us New Testament people and beyond. Look at verse 13. Take up the full armor of God, that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand. See what God is going to do. Watch the Lord fight for you. Trust Him. Put on the full armor. Rely upon His strength and His might, and stand firm. You know, I don't know about you. That sounds exciting. Scary, but exciting to see what God will do when we trust Him enough to show Himself mighty. There is an Old Testament passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, where the Lord told His people, "The Lord our God, the Lord Almighty, is looking for a man who will wholeheartedly trust the Lord so that He can show Himself mighty on His behalf." That's what He's looking for. Put on the armor. Put it on. And stand firm. Listen, believer, you already have Christ. His provision's armor. He's already proved His might. Put it on, stand firm. Watch. There might be some in this place. You can't put armor on because you're not His. You got to be His to be able to put the armor on. And the only way you become His is by ABC. Vacation Bible School taught us this. ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. Recognize that God is holy and you're not. And because of your sin, there's nothing you can do to get to Him. The Scripture tells us there's nothing you and I can do to get to Him. No works, no being nice to grandma or helping people across the street, putting money on the plate, even preaching sermons. That's not going to give you access to salvation. Won't happen. Admit you're a sinner and you're in need. B, believe that God sent His Son Jesus Christ to come to this world and to die for your sin, to pay the price for your sin, And having paid the price, God raised him up to eternal life and brought him up to heaven with him, waiting for the time to send him back. Believe. And then C, confess. Confess your sin before him. Included in that's repent, turn away from that sin and turn to him, and then commit yourself to follow him as best as you can from that day forward as he grows you and makes you into his image. And when you commit yourself to him in that way, he gives you a cloak of Jesus. He puts Jesus on. The Apostle Paul uses this vernacular in another one of the letters and says, take off the old man and put on the new. Put on the new and walk in the newness. And then put on the armor. You have Christ. Just put on the armor. So some need to put on Christ so you can put on the armor. That only happens as the Lord draws you to himself. And when that happens, you'll know it. Man is not supposed to convince one another that you need Jesus. We are supposed to testify and let the Holy Spirit convict your heart of that. And if you feel convicted about that, we would love to have you come and allow us the opportunity to be able to share Christ with you or to pray with you or to hear you say, I'm trusting Jesus. That would be a blessing for us. And then there may be some others. Maybe this message convicted your heart in some other way. You already belong to him. Maybe you've left out a piece or two in that armor. Maybe you've not been faithful to put it on at all. Maybe today would be the day I'm going to do that. I'm going to be faithful to follow after my Lord. I'm not going to let that be a hindrance. I'm going to turn my struggles over to the Lord because he can handle them and I can't. Whatever it may be, let's respond to the Lord this morning. Father, as we enter into this portion of our worship experience, worship is to continue to look to you and to give you praise and thanks. And Lord God, I can think of no better thing to do at the end of hearing a message like this than to yield ourselves to you, to keep our eyes focused upon a holy, high, and powerful God who can take care of all of our struggles. Father, this morning, may this congregation leave this place different than how we came in. Lord God, help us to be putting on the full armor of salvation that you've given us through Christ. It's in his name we pray as we commit ourselves to you. Amen.